It's been well said by probably different people that if you can feel the Spirit of God into singing and into prayer, you'll have a good meeting.
Yeah.
I've been to some places that had a whole house full and their singing was really bad. And yet, I've been to places that had a little handful. And it just does your heart good to hear people sing from the heart.
Amen. That's the key.
I guess most of you know the story of the one that wrote the hymn 180 by now, but just briefly, he was a very rich man, businessman, had real estate holdings. They were all burned up in a great Chicago fire. His son got sick and died. And to alleviate their pain, they decided to go to England to hear one of the big evangelists. And they was all planning to go together, but he got called away for a meeting, and he went, and his wife and four daughters went. And they had a collision at sea, and the four daughters died in the sea. A few days later, as he was going over to be with his wife, his captain said, "That's where the ship went down." Many of us claim to have faith from time to time. Sometime I have the faith that I think I could reach out and touch my Lord.
Yeah. Yeah.
That man had the faith to write, "It is well with my soul." Mm-hmm. I've heard people say that, "I just don't know if I'm a child of God or not, but I just don't believe that my God would reach out and come down and just overwhelm you with His presence if you're not His." I don't believe it. Anyway, to the text. Matthew 16, beginning at verse 13. "When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, He asked His disciples, saying, 'Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?' And they said, 'Some say thou art John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets.' He said unto them, 'But whom say ye that I am?' And Simon Peter answered and said, 'Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God.' And Jesus answered and said unto him, 'Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it.'" This is a fine, fine text, and the one that I trust to read next also is. But the main thrust of what's been on my mind this morning is, what think you of Christ? And hopefully we'll get to the third reading and show what Christ was to at least one person. In this text, they were asked, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" Christ referred to himself as the Son of Man more than any other title. And you got all kind of different answers. I've even...
No, never mind. I won't go there.
But anyway, he asked him, "But whom say you that I am?" Simon Peter, who was never at a loss for words that we know of, but these words are extremely good. He said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Brethren, we live in a world today where that Christ is not acknowledged to be the Son of God. We live in a world where he is a prophet, like they said back then, some 2,000 years ago. We live in a world where you can be invited to open a meeting with prayer, but in the invitation at the bottom it is, you cannot use Jesus Christ. To my way of thinking, there's no such thing as a prayer without Jesus being involved. We're told to come to God through Christ.
That's right.
By the way, that's how we got to God, is by the sacrifice of Christ.
Amen.
It wasn't by anything that we done. It wasn't by any flowery words. Not that a hillbilly like me would have any. But it was by the blood and sacrifice of the Lamb of God. He said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Brethren, there's no truer words ever spoken. And of course then it said, "Thou art Peter, and upon this rock I'll build my church." And no, it didn't come from Rome. It didn't originate there. It didn't come from there. And the line of succession does not follow that. It just does not. It follows those of his people that were called and sent out. But there's no one man that has authority. I'll turn off a newscast if they start talking about the Father, the Holy Father. It just goes through me like Grant went through Richmond. I can't stand it. The Holy Father is my Father in heaven.
Amen.
Has nothing to do with any man that ever lived other than Jesus Christ.
Amen.
There's nobody holy. There's nobody good. There's nobody righteous. And yet, a line of succession for thousands of years, he's called the Holy Father. We're told in the Psalms that that's not true. Even Mary said, "Holy and reverend is his name." And it wasn't talking about somebody come from Rome. But Matthew 22 at verse 41 said, "While the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them, saying, What think ye of Christ? Whose son is he? They say unto him, The son of David." So we have here that they called him the son of David, which is true, that he is the Son of God, that he is our Redeemer. I still can't understand how that anybody that calls himself by any religious order can deny Christ. I've told this story, and I heard it on the news, and of course we've already heard this morning that there's fake news out there. But I heard it on the news that there's one synagogue or whatever, someplace out in the middle of the West and flyover country, which is supposed to be where the good folk are, that they recalled all their songbooks, took out the blood. Too gory. We can't sing about the blood. We can't sing, "What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. No other fount I know." You know, God moves in the mysterious ways his wonders to perform. That song was written by one that was in an insane asylum several times. But he does. He moves in mysterious ways. The brethren were talking this morning about different things, and there was so much conversation going on, I didn't get in the point I wanted, but we was talking about the poor, and the gospel, God put it in here, had it written in here. You know, go tell John again these things. The blind see, the lame walk, the dead are raised up. It goes on and on and on, and it says the poor have the gospel preached to them. That we're talking about preaching.
Amen.
Said the poor have the gospel preached to them. That doesn't necessarily mean they're poor in purse, but it certainly means that they was poor in having the ability to do anything for themselves, and they trusted in an all-wise God.
Right.
It means that they had given up, as it were, the things of this world. They're fading. You've heard already, it's like a vapor. This world's not my home. The older I get and the sicker I get and the more feeble I get, the more I know it's not my home, and I'm right glad of it.
Amen.
No, I'm not. I'm really glad of it. This world's not my home. The old songwriter said, I would not live all the way, I ask not to stay. The other one said, farewell, vain world, I'm going home. And the one that's in that Goble book that Brother Stanley probably knows well says, what's this? What's this? It steals across my frame. Is it death? If it be death, I soon shall be in glory. Words to that effect. Brethren, that's what death. It brings this old body down. Oh, but that spirit soars back up to God it gave it. As I said earlier, I want to speak about one that knew who Jesus was and what she thought about him. 20th chapter of John, beginning at verse 11. But Mary stood without at the sepulchre weeping, and as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre and seeth two angels in white sitting, the one on at the head and one at the feet where the body of Jesus had lain. And they say unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? She said unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself backwards and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, Sir, if thou hast borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus said unto her, Mary. She turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. This is one that dearly and truly loved the Master. This is the one that evidently was rich, but it had the seven demons that Jesus had cast out of her. Some people try to say that she was a bad woman and this and that and the other. That's not what Scripture says. The demons could have been mental or physical or anything else. But at any rate, Jesus had healed her. So she followed him. Think about this. This is a lone woman. Tell me where you've laid him and I'll take him away. And one thing that I've never quite been able to come to grasp is that this woman looked into a tomb and saw two angels, one at the head and one at the foot, where the body of Jesus had lain. She didn't say anything to the angels. She didn't comment about the angels. She seemed unimpressed in the presence of two angels. Just tell me where the body of my Master is. Tell me where you've laid him. This is the woman that had a singular thought in mind, and that was to see or to anoint or take away the body of Jesus Christ. She wasn't concerned with the angels. She wasn't concerned with anything else. She merely wanted to take away the body of Jesus Christ. And as I said at the beginning, what think you of Christ? She thought more of a dead Savior than this world thinks of a living Savior. She thought more of one that had been crucified, beaten, slain, buried, crucified. She thought more of him than most of the world thinks of one is seated at the right hand of God. I say to you in all sincerity that your sins, or at least your thought of what they were, determines how much you love Jesus Christ. If you think, I've never done anything wrong, I'm better than all them folk. If you can walk like the Pharisee did, brethren, you won't love Jesus Christ like the publican did. It's just that simple. You have got to have a felt sense of depravity. You have got to know that you sin and come short of the glory of God in order to love Jesus Christ. And the more sinful you think yourself to be, the more you will love Him. The Apostle Paul is used as an example in most everything we ever preach about, I suppose. He loved much because he was persecuting the church of God. Verily thought he was doing the will of God. But when a master came to him, what did he say? Show him what great things he must suffer for my name's sake. He didn't say anything about it. I'm going to exalt you and make you a big preacher, and I'm going to send you all over the world establishing churches. He said, I'm going to show you what great things you must suffer for my name's sake. I suppose you as members get questioned about why you would go so far for so little. I can testify to you as ministers, I know we do. Why would you go there? Why would you do that? If one reflects just for a small space of time on the trip, you might say, that the Master took for us, what we do is inconsequential. Our Master went up Golgotha's hill, but He also left heaven, came from heaven in immortal glory to live as a man for some 33 years. Was beaten, scourged, abandoned. Said He had nowhere to lay His head. Yet we moan and groan if we don't have this house over here or this over here or whatever. He didn't have a house at all. Never owned anything, although He owns the world. Amen. He owns the world. But yet, doesn't have anything. Brethren, it is a strange thing to me that this woman, she just says, tell me where you've laid Him, and I'll take away the body. Tell me where you've laid Him. Brethren, the whole known world at that time firmly believed that they had put an end to this man called Jesus. Not realizing that in actuality, they were carrying out the very will and decree of God.
Amen.
God had purposed that Jesus Christ would die, and they're the ones doing it, and they're thinking they're doing away with this man called Jesus, turning the world upside down and all that. They did exactly what God meant for them to do.
Amen.
Now, that doesn't absolve them of sin. But can you imagine that? I mean, even the Roman soldiers, when they saw the darkness and the veil of the temple, rend in twain, they said, surely this must have been the Son of God. And those were the hardened Roman soldiers. But yet those that sat round about, even His own people, as this talks about in 1st chapter of John, verse 11, it came into his own received him not, but as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God. Brethren, I've heard it said that that was the church. It wasn't the church. It couldn't have been a church, because he said, as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God. That was the Jewish nation. He came unto his own. They'd been God's chosen people. God had led them, fed them, followed them, delivered them, given them all the land of Canaan that belonged to those foreign lands, killed all those people and the kings, and rid them out of the country, and give it to Israel. And even when they was out in the desert, they always wanted something else, which falls right in line with what you heard this morning. It was a want. It was not a need. They had everything that they needed. They had a pillar of fire at night and a cloud by day to separate them from the enemy. God sent down manna from on high. And brethren, every once in a while, I have a feeling that God sends down manna from on high to us. Every once in a while, He opens up the windows of heaven and pours out a blessing. Sometimes we can't even contain it. And I think you heard this morning it might last you a day and a half. Brethren, I hope it lasts longer than that. Every once in a while when I get something in my craw, and if I can't find it and I can't understand it, it don't go away in a day and a half. It stays much longer than that. But this poor woman, and bear in mind that the disciples were not there. Mary Magdalene was there, which means her name was Mary, and she was from a town of Magnolia, something like that. Mary Magdalene. She was there. She come to take the body. Which proves beyond a doubt that no one that had heard him really believed what he said when he said, I go up to Jerusalem and be crucified and the third day rise again. One would think that they'd all be standing around waiting on that great resurrection morning when the Son of God would come forth. But he come forth in the night, by the way. No one saw him. There was no need that anyone see him, because he showed himself for what, 40 or 50 days after the resurrection. Nobody had to see him resurrected, but they had to see him die. And they had to see him ascend back up into heaven. He said, you men of Galilee, why stand you gazing into heaven? This same Jesus. It didn't say it was another one. This same Jesus, whom you see and received up into glory, shall come in like manner. Brethren, the first time he came as a little babe, wrapped in a, you know, the cloth laid in the manger. Second time he's coming with power. And he's also coming with glory. When he went into Jerusalem, they stood by and they cried, Hosannas. A few days later they were crying, crucify him, crucify him. Why? He did not meet our expectation. Think about that. The Son of God did not meet the expectations of the people. Thinking about meeting expectations, I mean, God knew what we were going to do, but in a sense, how far did we fall short? But it wasn't a surprise to God, because He knew what we were going to do to start with. He knew what Adam was going to do. He didn't say, if you, He said, in the day. So God knew what we were going to do. But anyway, God, Jesus, did not meet the expectations of the nation of Israel. because he was supposed to come in on a great big white steed, and he was supposed to be the most powerful one that's ever been. He's supposed to be the king. He's supposed to deliver me from Roman domination. Brethren, he came, but he came with power. He was the king as a babe, by the way.
Amen.
He didn't become a king. He was born the king.
Amen.
And he delivered, not just the way they expected. He didn't deliver them from Roman domination, but praise be to the high God of heaven, he delivered us from sin and degradation and woe and from the depravity that we are in by nature. He delivered us from nature's darkness to the marvelous light of Jesus Christ. Called out of that. You know, like the 40th Psalm, brought me up also out of an horrible pit and out of the miry clay. Set my feet upon a rock. Brethren, we can sing, on Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. Brethren, if you think about what Christ has done for you, sent by the Father, and the message is that we're delivered by the Holy Spirit. You find that the Father and the Son and the Spirit are working together for your good. It's the salvation of your soul. Everyone for whom Christ was sent will be housed in heaven in immortal glory. We can be like that dear sister. You know, where did you land? Brethren, you won't have to look for that anymore. You know, we sang that hymn 39. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see, when I shall look upon the face of the one who saved me by his grace. What a day that will be. Brethren, what a day it is when you come, as Brother Bill Stevens says, to press the dying pillow. And you can feel that relief in knowing that I am his. I was bought with a price, for the blood of the Lamb of God. I need not fear death. So come, O welcome death, I'll gladly go with thee. Brethren, that's the difference in what you think of Christ and whose son is he. If you think today that Christ is and ever was the Son of God and that he's coming in power to take you home to be with him, you'll love him more. What does the old song say? I want to love him more. I do, I do, I do. I want to love him more. Oftentimes, up north, at least at the Fellowship Church in Rosedale, they have that song, My Jesus, I love thee, I know thou art mine. The old Goebel book says, the child of Jehovah, subject of grace, I'm of the seed royal, a dignified race. He loved me of old and he loveth me still. Before the creation he gave me by will a portion worth more than the indies of gold, which cannot be wasted, nor mortgaged, nor sold. Brethren, there's a lot of truth in that song. Cannot be wasted, nor mortgaged, nor sold. The world will tell you, you've got to do this, that, and the other. You're going to fall away. You cannot fall out of the hands of a covenant-keeping God. You can't even jump out of the hands of a covenant-keeping God. There's nothing that can separate you from the love of God. Height or death, principalities, the powers, things above earth, under the earth, nothing. And yet we fret. We fret and say, and I've heard this, I fear I've just caught the shadow and missed the substance. Brethren, if you even think you just got the shadow, it means you're a child of God. Dead people don't cry out for salvation. They don't cry out for help. They don't cry out for Jesus. They don't go to the tomb looking for a Savior just to go and bury the body or to anoint it, either one. They don't do that. Dead people don't move. This woman was not dead. She had a living faith in the loving Lord, by the way. And she was blessed. He said one word to her, She said one word to him, Mary, Rabboni, which means master. Is Jesus Christ today your master? Is He the Lord of your life? He said, well, of course, I came today. I gave up all sorts of things. Yeah, me too. But the point is, which had you really rather do? And I can say without fear, successful contradiction, I had rather be here right now than any place on the planet. Our God has done so much for us. He's loved us with an everlasting love. And the only thing that He really requires of us is that we praise Him and worship Him. I trust that's what we're doing today. Called out of the world. That lady probably could have found many things to do instead of going to a tomb looking for a dead Savior. But look what a reward she got. I know she didn't seem to care, but she saw two angels. Later on, she probably said, oh, I saw two angels. But she saw her master. She saw Him alive. And He spoke to her. He called her by name. Brethren, our master comes in various and sundry different ways. The Spirit does to quicken us and make us alive. But suffice it to say, He'll be on time every time, and He has the power. Nothing can stop Him. Nothing. A God that created the universe and hung it up there, and it's still there. Don't see any pillars under it. Nobody's fallen off yet, off the deep edge. They just haven't done that yet. That God has got that kind of power in creation also has the power to save His own, to redeem them, to draw them to Him. The drawing cords of His love. People say all the time, I join the church, but I'm waiting on God just to pick me up out of the back by the hair of my head and drag me up here. God's not going to do that. But I tell you, He can get you up there. Living proof, standing here before you. The day I joined the church, the thought had never entered my mind for months. Had no intention. Next thing I know, I'm standing there. I don't know when I got up, and I don't know why I got up, other than that God brought me. Next thing I know, I'm just asking the church, can I be one of you? They were singing that song, Thy blood can cleanse the foulest stain. I simply said, do you believe what you're singing? Oh, of course. I said, how about me? Can it avail for me? It's good to have brethren. It's good to have those that you love. It's good to see them brought out of nature's darkness to the marvelous light of Jesus Christ. But it's just like when you go to pray. A certain person that most of you might know told me one time, I pray for this one, this one, this one, this one, this one, but I never pray for myself. I said, brother, that's not right. Every once in a while, you've got to be overwhelmed with your need. And he told me later, he said, you know, I've been praying for myself, and you know it actually works. He said, what a surprise. Not really. But anyway, the point is, it's good to see the brethren and the work that God's doing in them. But the primary concern is, what about me? Is He mine? Can I sing My Jesus, I Love Thee? Can I sing with Newton, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me? Can I sing, poor, weak, and worthless though I am, I have a rich, almighty friend? Yes, brethren, today I can. Every once in a while we go into doubts, and every once in a while our faith fades away. Close to away, it never goes away. We're told that if God begun a good work in you, He will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. You cannot deny that. If God has reached into the innermost parts of your soul and caused you to know that Jesus gave His life, that He hung on Calvary's tree and poured out His blood for you, you cannot deny that. People have been drowned, hung, crucified, beaten, tortured, because they would not deny Jesus Christ. And I thank you.